Hello, beloved, and welcome to this Bible study again on spiritual warfare and the warfare of a believer. You and I, we are involved in spiritual warfare whether we like it or not, whether we accept it or not, whether we believe it or not. We are involved in a spiritual battle, and Scripture tells us about it, and we need to be ready for it. Before we continue, though, let's just have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that we can come to you. Thank you for the word, your word, that teaches us about this battle that we are involved in. I want to pray, Father, please open up our hearts to receive your word, our minds to understand, so that we can be involved in this battle, knowing that we are on the winning side, but at the same time understanding that we are not wrestling against flesh and blood. But Father, please help us to understand how this works so that we could effectively be involved in this battle. This I pray in Jesus' precious name. Enable me as your servant to teach your people, Father. This I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. I would like to read two verses to you. That's Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11 and verse 12. The Apostle Paul, speaking to the Ephesian believers, he says to them, "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Verse 12. "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." Beloved, that's a mouthful. But just notice verse 11. Where the Apostle Paul basically tells the Ephesian believers that they had to put on the whole armor of God, not just part of it, but all of it. And for what purpose? He actually tells them, so that they will be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, the wiles of the devil are basically the methods of the devil. Now, different methods that the devil uses to basically attack God's people and to try to destroy God's people, because that's what he wants to do. He wants to destroy everything about God. He hates God. He hates God's people. He hates creation. He wants to destroy everything about God. And here in Ephesians chapter 6, the Apostle Paul comes and he tells us that the method that Satan basically uses is to use the principalities and powers and rulers of darkness of this age, spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. So what basically happens is that these spiritual entities, they get behind people, or they take control of people, basically to fulfill the plans of the devil. As I said before, you see, the devil wants to destroy God's people. In fact, if Satan could destroy God, he would do that. But so if he can't destroy God, what will he do then? He goes after God's church. He goes after Israel. He goes after believers. He goes after anybody that he can. In fact, he will go after creation and try to destroy creation. And why? Because he wants to get to God. That's his way of getting to God. And we know that the battle that we are in is a spiritual battle, because we cannot see the devil. Nah? We cannot see these fallen angels. We cannot see the entities that are behind the scenes doing a lot of work at the end of the day to try to destroy God's work, God and his people. Now, there's something important that we need to know about these spiritual entities. Listen to Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. It says, "For by him," that is, by Jesus, "all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him." Now, beloved, I want you to be very clear on this. Not one of these spiritual entities came to existence by themselves. No, Christ created them. And it's interesting how the Apostle Paul, when he speaks to the Colossian believers, he says to them, all things were created through him, that is, through Jesus Christ. Were things created through Jesus Christ? He is the Word. Remember that? So through Jesus Christ, everything was created and for him. Because at the end of the day, Jesus Christ is going to conquer everything. Everything is going to be submitted under his feet, and he's going to take it all and give it over to the Father. Beloved, Jesus is the one who created everything, and ultimately everything is subject to him. So when we talk about spiritual warfare, please don't think that I'm speaking to you from a position where we are, let's say, on the losing side. No, we are on the winning side because we are on Christ's side. All right, he has taken us from the kingdom of darkness, placed us into the kingdom of light, the kingdom of his everlasting son. We have been placed in the kingdom of God. And because we are in the kingdom of God, we are on the winning side. Everything is subject to Jesus Christ. That's why we have authority. Not authority, but that's why we have, let's call it authority, power. When we come with the truth, it will always destroy the lie. It will always break down the strongholds that is placed in people, because that's what the truth does. And why would it break the strongholds in people? Because Christ conquered. Right? Christ is above everything. The Apostle Paul said, he said to the believers in Rome, in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, says, "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Amazing, beloved. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. This battle cannot destroy us, even though we are in it. But we are in this battle so that we can learn how to stand. And as we learn how to stand strong, to persevere, and to follow through right to the end. This is the amazing thing about this battle that we're in. This battle teaches us to stand. All right. But even though there is this battle that is raging between light and darkness, we know that the ultimate victory has been won by Jesus Christ. The war has been won. There are still a few battles to be fought. But we know Christ is victorious at the end. He wins it all. Scripture reveals it to us. Yeah? But until the day that Jesus Christ basically cast the devil and all the fallen angels and all the sinners into the lake of fire, which is prepared for them, until that day there will be battles that we will face, battles that we need to win. Okay? It's important for us to understand that. Now, the letter of the Apostle Paul to the Ephesians were written within this context of spiritual battles that are going to take place in our lives, until the return of Jesus Christ. Now, the city of Ephesus was a spiritual city. A lot of spiritual stuff happened in Ephesus. For example, in Acts chapter 19, verse 19, we read the following. It says, "Also many of those who had practiced magic brought their books together and burned them all in the sight of all. And they counted up the value of them, and it totaled 50,000 pieces of silver." Now, 50,000 of pieces of silver would be about 5,000 days' wages for a laborer. That's a laborer working for 13 and a half years every single day of the year. That would be the wages that the laborer receives. That's a lot of books that was destroyed. You see, after people in Ephesus came to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, they basically repented of their sin. And what was the sin? Witchcraft. Magic. They were involved in the occult. They were involved with things that came from demons. All right. So they repented of these sins. And then they destroyed all the books on magic that they had. Why did they burn these books? Well, I think it's very simple that they understood what was behind these books. It wasn't just a book. Yeah, you can say, "Oh, this is just a book." You know, it's like the Harry Potter books. The Harry Potter books, people will say, "Oh, that's just fiction. It's just about witchcraft, you know, and it's just innocent stories." No. There's something behind those books. If 1 Corinthians chapter 10 actually gives us a little bit of an insight into this. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, we see that the Corinthian believers were basically involved in idol worship. Nah? So, they didn't think a lot about it because it's just idol worship. In fact, God says that There are no such thing as other gods. No? He's the only God. Paul says in Corinthians, he says, is an idol anything? Is the thing sacrificed to an idol anything? No, these things are nothing when it comes to who God is. But Paul wanted them to understand the spiritual reality of what they were finding themselves in. All right, so these Corinthian believers didn't think anything about this. They're not going to say this worshiping of idols and bringing sacrifices to the idols and that kind of thing. So Paul basically came and he explained to them that believers cannot participate in idol worship and then worship God at the same time. It doesn't work like that. You see, the problem with idols is this, and this is what Paul explains in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. He says, behind every single idol, there is a demon. Listen to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 20. It says, the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons and not to God. And I do not want you to have fellowship with demons. All right, so when they went to sacrifice to the demons, or to the idols, sorry, they were not sacrificing to the idols. They were sacrificing to demons, because behind every single idol on the face of this planet, now obviously this was speaking about Corinthians, now the Corinthian church in Corinth, but behind every single idol that exists on the face of this planet, there's a demon. That's basically what Paul is saying to the Corinthian believers. In verse 21 of 1 Corinthians chapter 10, we read the following. It says, you cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the Lord's table and of the table of demons. You see, in idol worship, there were sacrifices that were offered to these idols. And in many cases, the sacrifices were meat. Né? So the Apostle Paul tells the Corinthians that the meat that is offered to these idols were basically part of the altar. Okay, on which it was offered. You cannot separate the altar and the offering that was brought. It is the same as when God, wanted an offering, and there's an altar, and that offering had to be brought on this altar. There was a connection between the altar and the offering and to whom it is being offered. In the case of God, obviously, the sacrifice was brought to God on the altar that God appointed, where the sacrifice should be brought, and that sacrifice is then accepted by God, because God is connected to that altar on which the sacrifice is brought. Okay, I hope that makes sense. So when the Gentiles basically offered the meat to an idol, the person who sacrificed the meat became one with that sacrifice and one with the altar, and because that person became one with the altar and one with the sacrifice, that person actually united themselves to demons, because behind every single idol there is a demon. So the problem was, because there is an idol behind every demon, or let's call them, because there's a demon behind every idol, sorry. So there's a fallen angel behind every single idol that exists. When the Corinthians were involved in sacrificing meat or eating the meat that was sacrificed to the idols, they were actually making themselves guilty of idol worship. Okay, but not idol worship. They were making themselves guilty of demon worship, worshiping fallen angels. Okay, that's how serious it was. All right, so the people who were basically offering the meat to these idols, they were basically offering the meat to demons, né? And Paul didn't want the believers in Corinth, the Christians, those who worshipped God and God alone, he didn't want them to have fellowship with demons. He wanted them to only have fellowship with God and him alone. Now, when it comes to the books, also in Ephesus, the books that was burned, you remember when the people came to faith in Christ? The same principle applies. Exactly the same principle. Because magic basically refers to the black arts. And guess who's behind the black arts? obviously the devil will be behind the black arts, demons, né? Fallen angels. You see, the magic books would basically explain how to do magic, and how to do the rituals, and how to do the ceremonies, and how to do the spells that you find in black magic. All right? And so, in that sense, and those, how can I say, those spells and ceremonies and all those kind of things actually came from demons. It was demons who used people to write these books to explain how to get involved in, we call it the occult, nah? To get involved in the works of darkness. All right, so we can say that behind every single magic book, just like in idolatry, in idol worship, behind every single magic book, there will be a demon. You see, in idolatry, the demons basically deceived the people to worship the idol, but instead, they were actually worshiping a demon. And in a certain sense, you can say they were not worshiping this demon, they were actually worshiping the kingdom of demons. Of who is the head of the kingdom of demons? Satan himself, because Satan wants worship. Right, so in that way, he deceived the people to get involved in Satan worship rather than worshiping the living, true, almighty, only God. In magic, that is the black arts, demons basically deceived the people to perform rituals and spells and taught them how to do these things and all those kind of things. And the people did it. But what they did not realize was that in actual fact, they were summoning the demons. They were summoning. Yeah. They were calling up demons. That's what they were doing. Beloved, Paul told the Ephesian believers that they should understand Ephesians 6 verse 12. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood. There are things behind the scenes that we need to understand. We are wrestling against those things. We're not wrestling flesh and blood. We're not wrestling the people that are in front of us. We're not wrestling these idol worshippers. We're not wrestling the people that are persecuting us. You see, our hand-to-hand combat, as this wrestling is actually known, that Paul was speaking about, our hand-to-hand combat is not against frail, mortal people. You know, such as the men who would wrestle during the Olympic Games. No. We wrestle. And our battle, our hand-to-hand battle, and it's not even hand-to-hand, it's spiritual. Our battle is against principalities, against powers. We'll look at that. But it's basically spiritual entities. You see, when it comes to human beings, we will always have enemies. Don't get me wrong. We will always have enemies among humans. There have always been humans who persecuted believers. I mean, take for example Nero, who lied about the Christians, that they were the ones who burned down the part of Rome. And so he started with a persecution, and it was people who persecuted the Christians, and they were put on poles to become like torches for his parties. Okay, that's history. It's so brutal, this stuff. But it was Nero. It was a person. I mean, when it comes to officials in governments that persecute Christians, those officials in leadership positions, they give the command for believers to be tortured and sometimes for believers to be killed. Okay? For example, it was the Jews who cried out, "Crucify Jesus! Crucify him!" Né? Okay? You see, fallen human nature, beloved, is evil. Especially if it's left unchecked, uncontrolled, it's evil. That's why we have laws and rules, and that's why God's restraining grace basically prevents human beings from becoming as wicked as they actually can be. But ultimately, if we look behind the flesh and blood, if we look behind Nero, if we look behind Hitler, if we look behind people who persecute believers, you will always see a demon or a fallen angel at work. Always. I mean, sometimes a demon will just influence that person to do something. Sometimes the demon will possess that person, and that person will be demon-possessed, and that demon will work through someone. But there's always this spiritual reality. Whenever God's work is attacked, whenever God is attacked, whenever God's name is used as a cuss word, whenever God is blasphemed, when his work is blasphemed, whenever there's an attack on God, you can know, yes, flesh and blood is doing it, but there is something behind the scenes. And that's that entity that is behind the scenes, they are demons. Remember when Peter wanted to prevent Jesus from being crucified? In Matthew chapter 16, verse 23, we read, "Get behind me, Satan." That's Jesus speaking to Peter. "Get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of man." So, yeah, Jesus addresses the devil and not Peter, because Peter was actually being an instrument in the hands of the devil. Was Peter demon-possessed? No, he was just influenced and deceived by Satan. It could be his emotions. He didn't want Jesus to die. So what he would do is, "No, Jesus, you can't die. We need to prevent you from dying." And in fact, that was not what was supposed to happen. The will of God was for Jesus Christ to die. In Ephesians 4, verse 27, for example, read, "Nor give place to the devil." And the word "place" in the Greek is basically means a spot or a location or a room. Don't give the devil a spot or a place or a room. Don't give him a foothold in your life. Don't do that. You see, Paul was telling the believers in Ephesus not to allow sin in their lives, but also not to allow anything of the devil in their lives. Don't give him a room or a space or a spot or even a foothold in your life. Don't allow that. Don't give an opportunity for the devil to do things in your life, or to use you as an instrument to persecute God's people, or to hurt them, or to do anything harmful to them, to steal from them, or whatever. Don't allow the devil to use you as an instrument in his hands, to deceive you in any way. And he's speaking to the Ephesian believers there. Don't allow sin in your life. Don't allow the devil to use you. Don't do that. All right, so because the fact is, and this is what Paul then says in Ephesians chapter 6, we know we are not wrestling against flesh and blood. We know that our battle is not against flesh and blood. Okay? Our battle is against spiritual entities that are deceiving people, that are taking possession of people, that are influencing people, that are behind idol worship, that are behind the occult, behind the writing of books on the occult and witchcraft and all these kind of things. We know that there are evil spirits behind these things. Be awake on this. All right, so God willing, next time if you experience an attack from someone, remember, our wrestling is not against people. We understand who is behind them. Please understand that. Be ready to fight the battle with weapons that are not fleshly, not carnal, but are spiritual, strong in the Lord, in the pulling down of strongholds. When we fight lies by speaking the truth, we break down strongholds by bringing the truth of God's word to those things, and it will always prevail because Jesus Christ already conquered completely. Beloved, that's the amazing thing about this battle we are in. We already know who has the victory, and we are on his side. So get out there. And whenever you face this battle, know that this battle has already been won in Christ. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much that we can come to you in Jesus' name. Thank you for your loving kindness towards us, and thank you so much that we are on the victory side. We are on your side, Father. And please enable us to understand that that we're not fighting people, but there are evil entities that are trying to prevent your work from destroying your work, destroying you, destroying your people. Please, Father, enable us to always be reminded of this, so that we can fight this battle having the armor, your armor on. And when we look at that, Father, that we may be encouraged as we put on your armor, so that we can stand in the midst of the trials and tribulations and the suffering and the persecution and everything that we experience. This we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Beloved, thank you very much. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you. May he give you his peace. God willing, until next time, Bye-bye.